When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Welcome to the Visions of Love podcast. In this episode, we present part one of an interview with Mike Swiger of True Freedom Ministries. This group provides a correctional facility and prison ministry all through the state of Ohio. They are also involved in homeless outreach and addiction recovery in the city of Cleveland. Mike tells us some wonderful stories about the people he has helped, and he also tells you how you can become involved in True Freedom Ministries. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless you. Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Mike Swiker.
Okay, well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's our privilege to have True Freedom Ministries. Can you say hello, Mike?
Hello, everyone.
I'm really excited about this because True Freedom Ministries, I want Mike to tell you about it, but they work in three areas specifically. What are those, Mike?
We do homeless outreach in the city of Cleveland. We do addiction recovery in Northeast Ohio. And the largest thing we do is prison ministry all across the entire state of Ohio. We have 33 correctional institutions, so we have a large mission field here in Ohio.
Wow. And what is the motivation for that?
In Ohio, we have 45,000 adults in prison, 78,000 individuals in jails and prisons total. And these are people who are broken, and they have souls, and those souls need saved. And I learned that firsthand because I was saved in county jail in 1989. I am the 100% a product of prison ministry, and it was through God used a jail ministry, then a prison ministry to build into my life. So I'm giving back to those I left behind.
I noticed on YouTube it said, quote of the verses from Matthew 25, where it says, I'm hungry and you fed me not, I was a stranger and you didn't take me in, all that. This is really interesting. So can you tell us some facets of the three different ministries?
Yeah, these three ministries are very intentional because the population we work with move between those three groups. When people get out of prison in Ohio, if they're not on probation or parole, they usually have no home to go to, so they end up in homeless shelters. So we intentionally chose to minister to homeless people so we would not lose continuity with those people who get out of prison with no place to go. Addiction recovery is hand in hand with prisons because 80% of people in prison have a drug or alcohol problem. So for people when they first come home from prison, if we're able to keep them clean and sober and keep them discipled, their chance of succeeding on this side of the fence skyrockets. So addiction recovery became the centerpiece of our reentry program, and then it's now a freestanding outreach in itself. So those are the three groups that work together. And the prison ministry, there's a lot of different prison ministries in the world, and praise God for them all, and there's certainly a big and efficient field for more. But we're one of the few, especially in Ohio, that have a cradle-to-grave vision for prison ministry. We visit the county jails when people are first incarcerated. We go to the reception prisons when people get adjudicated to go to the prison system through two institutions, so we're at those points of crisis. Then we walk alongside people and do discipleship and mentorship while they're serving their time, and then we do reentry preparation training at the reintegration centers, and then we do workforce empowerment and job placement upon release. So we're available from arrest to reentry.
What do your discipleship programs look like?
We have multiple layers to our discipleship. We do verse-by-verse expositional Bible studies, and we have volunteers and staff members who go in weekly to teach those groups. We try to keep the groups to 12 men at the most so we can have a lot of individual one-on-one discipleship. We have a 40-week character development program that we run. It usually takes about a year to facilitate when you go through the state holidays and some other glitches along the way. But that group, we keep that population to 8 people in the group so that you can get really deep into the weeds of someone's spiritual development, some of the lapses in their own theological development and Bible knowledge, and then be able to bring to them a full picture of applying the Bible to their lives. So we do that at every major institution in Northeast Ohio. And then we also do mentorship. We have one-on-one. We pair off volunteers with an individual. We do a monthly program for mentorship. And some of our mentors will mentor somebody for 10 to 15 years once a month prior to their release. And then we also do the traditional large group Bible studies as well.
Well, one thing that caught my attention was that you work so much with other churches. What has this done as far as unity in the body of Christ in Cleveland?
Praise God for unity through the power of the Holy Spirit, because as you know, churches are very divisive places. On Sundays, people stick to their own little groups. But our statement of faith is very orthodox, but it's broad enough so that if you would be a very, very hardcore conservative Baptist, you could volunteer for us. If you were a Presbyterian, you could volunteer for us. As long as you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and we keep within the bounds of orthodoxy, we get volunteers from all stripes. So we have people from churches that would normally not associate with each other being partners leading the Alpha Course, for instance, for us. So we've seen a big outpouring of volunteers from all kinds of churches across Northeast Ohio, which then has those churches look to partner with us more intentionally.
That's great.
Yeah.
Can you tell me any stories from the three groups that stand out in your mind?
I can. Probably one of the most traumatic stories of conversion in prison ministry is with a gentleman named P.D. Brown. P.D. was with a gang from East Cleveland called the Heartless Felons, very violent, and he was probably one of the most violent gang members I've ever met in prison. And I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him very reluctantly. One of the guys who I was working with was encouraging me to meet with this individual, and I was just looking at this guy's life and how violent he was in prison and how he wouldn't speak to me at all. But it was supposed to show you God chooses, we don't. So I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. He made a profession of faith, which I thought he made just to humor me to get me out of his face, honestly. And then a week later, he shows up and said, "Hey, you said I should read the Bible. Do you have a Bible I can read?" And I gave him a Bible. And then after that, he goes, "I don't understand this. Can you teach me this Bible?" So I started discipling him. And he got baptized. And 6 months into our discipleship, me just one-on-one with this man, who I've become to love very dearly, he looked at me and asked me a question that no other minister has ever been asked, I can promise you. He said, "Do you think it's wrong that I sell drugs?" I said, "Yeah, it is, Petey." And he said, "Well, I won't do it anymore." And he stopped. And he became such a gentle, humble servant of Christ over the next 3 years. It's just a dramatic, remarkable Damascus Road conversion experience. And I was really privileged to call him my friend. Our homeless ministry was started by an ex-offender 33 years ago. And during the homeless ministry, he would use his own personal truck, and he would load up all the sandwiches and all the vats of soup and all the beverages, and he would, our group of volunteers would go to the different homeless shelters. And this truck had like 300,000 miles on it, and it was on his last leg, but he always would use his truck. So after, we do it on a Saturday night. So on Saturday night, the truck is coming back towards our garage where the truck is stored, and the transmission literally fell out of the truck in the driveway. So we had to carry all the stuff from the truck back to the building where we store everything for the week. And parked in front of that garage was a brand new truck with an envelope in the windshield wiper. It was for Emil Posick for the homeless ministry. And when you opened up the envelope, it was a gentleman who had been homeless, got saved through our ministry, got clean and sober, got a job, became a carpenter, started his own. He was a developer, became very successful, and he bought a truck to give back to the people who led him to the Lord. And we still use that truck to this day.
Wow.
The homeless ministry. So that's a remarkable blessing. And then the third, with Addiction Recovery, very emotionally challenging ministry to do because so many of our folks struggle for a long time, and some of them die from overdoses. And we've had several overdose deaths. But we had a gentleman who I worked with for probably 7 years, in and out of prison, in and out of outpatient rehabs, finally get to the point where he looked at me and said, "I'm tired of lying to you. What do I need to do?" And we have partnerships in Ohio and North Carolina with Christ-centered detox centers, and inpatient Christ-centered program that will take guys for us free of charge, six-month inpatients for free if they're willing to go. So he went, and he was down there for 6 months and came back absolutely on fire. He's been clean and sober for 7 years now, owns his own business, and is a different guy. Those stories are the ones that keep me going, keep our volunteers going, keep our staff going, because along the line we do have the tragedies as well.
Well, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face?
Right now, our biggest challenge is the volunteers. Prior to COVID, we had 150 volunteers, and we have 14 staff members. We had 150 volunteers. We were doing between 400 and 500 services, classes, and programs every month in either homeless shelter, addiction recovery center, or in prisons. And since COVID, we've lost probably 75 or 80 volunteers. So the work is still there. You know, the Bible says the the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We're experiencing that. I'm having to say no to jails and prisons asking us to come in to share the gospel and to disciple men and women, and I don't have people to send. So right now, our biggest need is volunteers.
Now, this is just kind of a side question, but I'm just curious. Have you ever run across any people who were blind or had different challenges as far as being homeless?
Yes, we have. In fact, in Cleveland, we have a homeless shelter. It's the largest homeless shelter in Ohio. 400 people on any given night is there. And there was a gentleman who would come up. He had someone help him. You know, he had a cane. He'd come up weekly. Now, here's incidentally, one of the ladies who helps us with the homeless ministry is legally blind. Anita Black, she's been doing it faithfully for 15 years now. Maybe close to 20. Even though she can't see, she's one of the most spiritually discerning people I know. So she's on the streets with her husband, and when she came across someone else who was visually impaired, she was the absolute right person to minister because she knows how it feels. So I'll tell your listeners this. I am 5'6" and I'm bald, okay? Whenever I would talk to Juanita, I would say to her, "Why do you keep talking into my navel? I'm 6'7". You should be looking up to me." And she said, "Pastor Mike, I'm blind, not stupid."
Do you have any way to get like Braille Bibles or anything like that out to people?
We can distribute them. We need more. So at Grafton Marine Immigration Center, we actually have a Braille lab. When I say we, it's not ours, but the prison system has one. The men are trained to do Braille, and at the prison, prisoners are trained, they're licensed to become Braille technicians, and we produce books, you know, for Ohio State University or for anybody who has a need of a book to be translated into Braille. We have the capacity to do that. We're one of the few prison systems in the country that offers that.
Wow, that's great. I didn't have an idea about that when I asked you. As far as the homeless people, when they want to make a change, do you have houses and so forth that you can refer them to, or shelters? Or
we do. We don't provide them ourselves, although that's an area we're moving towards. But we have partnered with several major organizations in Cleveland, Salvation Army being one of them. They have a center called the Harbor Light Center. We have four other groups, one called Y Haven, one is the CSA Center. These are all faith-based, Christ-centered organizations who do provide housing, and all of them are handicap accessible.
If I was listening to you tell us about that, what are some things that I can do to help from where I am, no matter, you know, what state or whatever I'm hearing this in?
We could always use financial support. We are 100% privately funded. We don't take government money. We don't accept government money because when you take government money, you're kind of limited on what you can do or say. We never want to be stifled with the gospel message. So we don't take government money. So anybody who wants to contribute financially, wonderful. We're always in need of resourcing. We distribute hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bibles a year. So if you want to donate Bibles, send them to us. Certainly if we have Braille Bibles available, would be very helpful. We can make those available when we come across that need. Good resourcing, books are available. Socks are a huge need for us. The homeless is the biggest item homeless people need. They can't wash their socks. Keeping their feet clean is a big problem. So if people wanted to ship socks to us, and you know, our website has all our mailing address on it. Those basic staple resources is what we use and need.
Can you tell our West listeners where your website is and so forth?
Sure. To reach out to us, our website is truefreedomministries.net. That's truefreedomministries.net. We also have a Facebook page. It's True Freedom Ministries Cleveland. Our phone number is 216-202-3636. That's 216-202-3636. And we'd love to hear from your listeners if people want to get involved, want to contribute, want to just pray for us, because the places we go to are risky. And spiritual warfare is real. So prayer support is much coveted. But yeah, we'd love to have partners all over the country. All about
you. That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it. And please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you. Thank you.
You've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.